Good morning. What a beautiful morning. It has been an incredible day. And not just because I'm married to a beautiful woman who's teaching Bible hour. No amens. That's okay to amen that. I'm not a jealous man. Okay? But to have the opportunity to be here with you, to get into God's Word, to find riches for myself, and to be able to lift my voice and praise with you, to admonish you in song. What a beautiful morning. Amen. To remember our Savior who died on the cross and proclaim His death and that He lives. It has been a beautiful, wonderful morning so far, and I know the Lord will continue to bless you. I have something I want to share with you here. At the beginning, we do some strange things with our children. You look at me, I have a sign beside my door that as you go out of my house that says, "Remember, as far as everyone else is concerned, we're a normal family." And my wife is an incredible mother. She really is. And she comes up with some of the most incredible ideas, you know, and teaching the boys this and that. And one night, it was just one of those strange evenings, and actually early mornings. We both woke up real early, and about 4:30 in the morning, neither one of us, we got to talking, we couldn't go back to sleep, and we're laying there talking about the boys. Something had happened with one of them. We were talking about things going on in their lives. And she said, "You know, it's Saturday. What if we just got up and got dressed, right? And we run into their bedrooms and jump on top of them and wake them up at 4:30 a.m. and take them to IHOP." And I was like, "All right, yeah, let's do it. I love it." And so we threw on clothes and we were running. "Good morning," dove on them, right? And they're like, "Ugh, what are you doing, Dad?" "Let's go to IHOP." "Huh? IHOP." "Okay." Up here, up they went, you know. But mothers are incredible to have, right? If you're blessed with a mother who's living or who's with you, and if you're not, then grandmothers, right? Or someone in this congregation. You know, as an adopted child, my two boys who are visiting, worshiping with another congregation this morning, I love them. They're only two people in the world that I share blood with. I have a lot of other family that I count as family. Women who were mothers to me and loved me and gave to me, besides the woman who I call mom that raised me, who is an incredible lady. And the church is a blessing in many, many ways, to be a part of it, to understand it. And it's been that way with God's people for a long, long time. And we want to take a look this morning at Judges 4 and 5 at seeing God through the eyes of Deborah, right? Who is the only female judge that we find here in Judges, and the eyes of Deborah, the mother of Israel. And Judges 5 says, villagers in Israel would not fight, and this is during her song of praise, her song about the victories that have just occurred. Villagers in Israel would not fight. They held back until I, Deborah, rose, a mother in Israel. God chose new leaders when war came to the city gates, but not a shield or a spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. And so we find the story of not just Deborah, but Deborah and Barak, or Barak, or however you want to say it, right? Depends on where you're from, how you say it. All right, so Barak. Hebrews 11:32, though, mentions him as a man of faith. Why? Well, that's the reason this morning. Why? Because we know that he comes to Deborah and says, "All right, I'll march out against the Canaanites, but you have to go with me." And she says, "Well, because you've asked that, now the Lord has taken the glory from you and he has given it to a woman." And you may remember this story as the king is running away and he goes into the tent and the woman takes a spike and puts it through his head. Now, I'm not giving you details on purpose because I want you to go read it. That's a good story. Right? What did she give him, made him go to sleep, it tells? you know, kind of laying down there, and he goes to sleep. And you know, that's kind of a gruesome story. I want you to know that there are stories, young people, if the Bible, if the Old Testament were rated, and the New Testament, really, the Old and New, if it was rated by the movie people, it would be R. It would be R. For the sex and violence. But we have to get into it to know that that's there. It's more exciting than we think, right? All right, so we take a look at this. Deborah was a mother, a prophet, and a judge to the people because they looked at her that way. Like I would look at my mother. I know my mother has wisdom, that she was just to us boys. Now, I didn't think so when I was young, having four brothers. I thought she played favorites. But I know now that she was a just mother, that she had direction for us. She gave us strength, and that she gave us trust. And help us learn about trust. I'll try to keep up with my papers here too, so I know where I'm headed. She inspired the people of the nation. She inspired the people because through her they saw our God as the things that we're fixing to talk about. Verse 14 of Judges chapter 4 says, "Then Deborah said to Barak, 'Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hand.'" Go, right? Go. Our God, she's telling him, our God is an empowering God. Go. He's giving you the tools, the opportunity, and the victory that is ahead of you. This is the day the Lord has given, because our God is in control. I'm going to say that again. Our God is in control. Our God is in control. As He empowers us, the control is in His hands. The Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Our God is a giving God. He gives to us all that we need for life and godliness. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" God gives the victory. God gives the victory. Why do these things apply to me today as Keith Thompson? Right? That's the question. Matthew 10:16, "I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves." Now we have to take a look at that and think about how do we apply that to our lives? How do we make that come alive in who we are, right? In the world that surrounds us, there are things. Will people ever try to take advantage of you? I got a couple of yeses. This mean for the rest of you, this means yes and this means no, right? Will people try to take advantage of you? All right, that's what I need to hear. Affirmation from God's people. Yes, they will try to take advantage of you. Be wise like a snake, but innocent as a dove. Sometimes we need to sneak into conversations. We need to sneak into people's lives slowly, methodically, to become a part so that we can change who they are to our Lord and Father above. So that we can become an influence. So that we can begin to change lives. So that we can influence the lives of our young people as they get on the internet and use their phones, right? I'm going to say this again this morning. If you're a parent or a grandparent and you're on Facebook, you need to go take a look at my Facebook page. There's an article there that you need to read. And I'm going to warn you, it's PG-13. Well, I'm using ratings this morning, aren't I? PG-13, but it's information you must have as a parent and a grandparent. We need to understand the things that our teenagers are facing today. What are they dealing with? And are we open their arms? Would we take this group? Look at these young people over here. They're incredible. I know all of these kids right here, and I enjoy this group. I enjoy them. We have fun together. But I have been shocked in the last year at how intelligent they are and how much they have grown. This group right here has grown by leaps and bounds. Their desire to get into the Word, to know it and to understand it and make it a part of who they are, and I'm impressed with that. But would we take them and send them out with a bunch of Marines against ISIS? Would we do that? Say that again. Would we do that? No, we wouldn't do that. And yet we are doing it right now. Every day we are throwing the lives of young people into a situation that is just as dangerous as that. Do you know how? By not knowing what they're surfing on the internet. By not knowing what they're doing with their phone. But not knowing what's coming. Now, your kid might be a great kid, but you have no idea what other teenagers are sending to them. No idea what other teenagers are sending to them. And if you're not tracking it, if your young person can delete the history on their computer themselves and not be in trouble, you have made a mistake. Be as shrewd as a serpent and innocent as a dove, to teach them to be wise about what God is bringing into their life. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 6, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh, but have divine power, have divine power, have divine power." And let me tell you right now, man, our faith is so small, we're not even close to being the size of a mustard seed. Because we look around and think, I can't do this. I'm going to fail. I'm just not what I need to be. How can I change the world? How can I change the life of someone around me? And it's not about me. It's not about my abilities. If I take what I have and hand it to the Lord as a gift to Him, He brings back to us the wisdom and direction and the empowerment that we need to change the world. "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh." That's what we've been talking about with the internet, with our young people, with you. If you can delete your history without someone coming and taking a look at it, you're probably making a mistake. Men, you're probably making a mistake. Men, you're probably making a mistake. If you can go to the movies and not have to worry about what anybody knows you're going to, women, you're probably making a mistake. Now, I know you're challenged as a people and as a congregation because nobody said amen to those in the first time through. Nobody said it because you know there are friends and neighbors or yourself that are struggling with going to see movies you shouldn't go see. God forgive you, ladies, if you've seen 50 Shades of Grey or read it online. Either one. God forgive you. You better ask for forgiveness. You better not let your teenagers go see it, along with several other shows. You know, we have this concept that pornography is something just for men. And I'm telling you right now, we've gone way past that point in our society. And we don't understand that temptation and fantasy is destructive to reality. Let me say it one more time. Fantasy and dreams can be destructive to reality. Do you guys get that? I better see all your heads saying yes. Fantasy is destructive to reality, because it will eat you up and swallow you whole. And I will tell you, I can't help who I am. I'm an emotional man when I get before people and start talking about God's Word. It weighs heavy on my heart, and I want you to understand when I look out and I know that there is secret sin that people won't let go of, and it's destroying their relationships. It's damaging future. It's damaging marriages. And Satan sits and laughs at us. But we've been given weapons of divine power to destroy the strongholds that Satan has given to us. If you have a stronghold in your life of drinking or alcohol or pornography or fantasy, it's time to give that up. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ. And being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Have you ever thought about punishing yourself? Don't get lost in that. Or to punish. Isn't that why we do with our children? Isn't there a punishment when they cross a line? There's a punishment when they cross a line. There are consequences to action. What are the consequences to setting down? If Keith Thompson sits down at his computer and starts looking at photographs of women that are not his wife, what is the cost to me? God forgive me if I don't have the courage and the strength and the fortitude by the divine nature of our Father to walk in and sit down in front of my wife and say, God has given you to me as an incredible gift, and I, as your husband, have made a mistake. Forgive me because I want to love you with all my heart, with all of the strength that God can give to me. And I know if that happens in the future, that my wife will look at me and say, you are a gift to me from my God, and I forgive you. And she will probably wrap her arms around me and kiss me on the cheek. I'm not perfect. None of us is perfect. The time will come when we will fail and fall. That may be in my anger to the children or whatever it is, that I find my ability to discipline myself and say, step up and be a man of God and take the consequences for what I have done. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. We sell this picture sometimes that bad things won't happen to us if we're walking in the light. That we won't have to deal with things if everything is right. If we are godly and loving and focused, and things will not occur to us that are bad. And yet that's not what the Word tells us, right? It's not what He promises us. It's not that life. Because through those trials we build character and strength. And when we remain steadfast under trial, under my trial, when I've stood the test, I you, your children, your family will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love Him. Judges 5, verses 1 and 2, and I want to make this clear here. All right. On that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this song. Sang this song, sang this song. When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, when the people willingly offer themselves. Get ready. Read this with me. One, two, three. Praise the Lord. One more time. Praise the Lord. One more time. Praise the Lord. Because that's what we need to be about. We're an imperfect people in a world that's surely imperfect, striving to let the light of a perfect Savior shine from within us. And we can't do that on our own, but we can do it because He gives us the power and strength. He gives us the divine tools. He gives us the direction and the wisdom. And this is what Deborah was giving to Barak. A vision of a God who was greater than he had seen before that point. You have been given this victory. It's yours. Go take it. Grab a hold of it. And that's what the Lord is telling us. I have given you the victory. Go take a hold of it. The crown of life is yours. And we ought to get excited about that. We ought to be ready to proclaim that to the world around us. To let them know, I belong to the Father and I give Him praise. I praise Him when I willingly offer myself to Him. It results in my desire to lift my voice to God Almighty. To let it rise. Let it rise. Let it rise. To God Almighty. That's where we need to be. Allowing the glory of the Lord to rise among us.
Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of the King rise among us. Let it rise, let it rise.
You turn it up a little. Have been called by the Lord to open eyes that are blind and to set men free. To let the glory of the Lord arise. We're going to be learning this song, by the way. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down. He went down to Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. Sharing our view of God is contagious. It is empowering. It is life-changing for those who are blind and lost and set imprisoned in the dark of Satan's world. And people will rise with us if we will rise up ourselves with a heart that says, "Glory to God Almighty, who is my God forever, whose Son is my King, and the Savior and the Redeemer of my life, that I have given myself willingly to Him, that I might rise in victory in His name." But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brothers and sisters, listen up. That's what that word means. Listen up right here. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. And always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Because you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And I stand up here telling you to be contagious. Reach out and change the world around you. And while I speak well in front of a congregation, every once in a while that inside shyness... Can you believe I have shyness? No, I see in those faces like, Keith, now be careful, don't be lying to you. But every once in a while it comes up, and sometimes I do things like, I need help here, and we put it in the bulletin and we put out up our sign-up list instead of coming to you personally, because the reality is, none of us wants to hear you say, "No, I don't want to do that." Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, to the work of the Lord, to the work of the Lord. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And when you do so, it will be contagious. It will be contagious. And so I'm asking you this morning, as you look at your life, do you need to change? Do you need to become someone who is contagious? Do you need to devote your life to Jesus, your Lord and Savior? Do you need to be washed with Him, to raise, to walk in newness of life? As we lay ourselves before Him, we repent from everything that we've done wrong in our lives. We confess that Jesus is our Lord, and we're united with Him in the likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection, so that we can do what? Walk in a new life. And newness brings energy. Just like the baby started crying, we can't help but look at your child when she cries, right? Amen. Girls or boys. Because we're excited about those children being here and being apart, right? Something about a new child just brings your attention. And there's something about a new child of God who's devoted himself to the Lord's work that brings energy to us as a family. And it becomes contagious as we live transformed for our Lord and Savior. Sometimes all we need is to be surrounded and prayed for to become contagious again, to begin that process of being transformed. And so this morning, in just a second as we stand and sing, we want you to know now is the time, now is the moment. This is the day the Spirit and the Bride call. Come, begin a life transformed. Begin a life that is contagious, and let the glory of the Lord arise. Amen. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
There's a mountain free just for you and me. Let us say so. Is the fount of love from the source of love.
us save.